Here we go.
Welcome to the Elevate Podcast.
Today we continue the Pursuit series with a message titled, The Bold Pursuit. Join us as Pastor Jason speaks with us about going boldly to God through Jesus.
Hey everybody, this is podcast number 13. We're calling it our Boldcast. I was told to, you know, pick it up a couple notches because our last podcast was, you know.
You were horrible.
I know. I came in kind of weak. I don't know. I just didn't bring it. You know, I didn't bring it to the show. You know, I was like, I just didn't bring it, you know. So I'm trying to bring it today. This is podcast 13, baby. We're doing the Boldcast. Sitting with me here today.
Because you're the bold and the beautiful.
That didn't make sense, but
okay, I'm sorry.
I do look kind of nice today. I got a nice jacket on. I'm describing what I'm wearing today. I got a nice jacket.
You're getting close to being the bald and the beautiful.
Hey, dude, it's not my fault. You know, what can I do? I'm not going to be sporting no wig or toupee. I just flow with what God gave me, you know. It's not my fault that God created me like this. You know, I can't help that I'm great. But, you know, God made me this way, and I apologize for being so great. You know what I'm saying?
Why are you going to apologize?
Because I apologize for being so good. Okay? Just want to let you know.
Okay.
Sitting with me here today is of course, you've already heard him throw in his 2 cents, and he broke the rules, because the rules are, do not speak unless the host asks you a question. But Pastor Jay always breaks that rule and just throws in his 2 cents left and right. So Pastor Jay is sitting with me here today, and for the first time ever, I got my main man, one of our youth members. His name is Zyler. Coming all the way from... Where are you coming from?
Toloso.
Toloso Midway, baby. That's what I'm saying.
Everybody's probably going, where's that?
Yeah, that's true.
Slow Midway.
Yeah, so it's cool. So, Pastor Jay, I know that you wanted to take a little turn to a little different direction for podcast number 13, Boldcast. And I'm going to stop rambling because I have no idea where you want to go.
See, this has been the problem for 2 weeks now, Zyler. And I know you haven't been here, or I don't even know if you've listened to a podcast. But for 2 weeks, Juno has come in unprepared.
Zyler, did you say hello?
Hi.
There you go.
He said Toloso Midway.
Oh, he said Toloso Midway. I just want to make
but
sure
for
that...
for 2 weeks, this guy has come in, and he has... Last week, he was flat. And then he's gone, Pastor Jay, take it. And he's just left me hanging each week. And then this is his line. I don't know where Pastor Jay wants to go. So I'm just going to turn it over to him.
Let me defend myself a little bit. Tonight was a little rough as far as staff-wise goes. I was really having to do like 5 jobs. And I'm sorry and I apologize for being so great. But I apologize because I was, you know, stretched out and doing different things. So, you know, I wasn't totally here to soak up the word. But you know what? That's why I'm going to listen to the Boldcast, and that's why I'm going to listen to the message, because I want to soak it up. I want to hear everything that you had to say, man. So,
well, you know, tonight was really excellent in the fact that, you know, again, as this Pursuit series has gone along and it's gotten, I think it's gotten better and better. And when it started out, you know, I started it out with the Pursuit, the greatest chase of all. And to be honest with you, Juno, you know, I didn't know where it was going to go, totally. I had all the titles of every message lined out, and I didn't know how deep this is going to go. And tonight, you, honestly, you know, and I know you haven't listened to any podcast yet, except for when you talk.
Okay, you got me there.
You got me there,
that's true.
I've got to listen to the message tonight, and... to me, it was so powerful, and it's almost wrapped up this whole series. And to a degree, I almost wish it would have been next week.
Really?
But next week is going to be crazy. It's called dating. Stop dating God.
Ooh.
So I don't know if you can even imagine.
Ooh. And I've known you for a long time. So to go that direction, as far as, you know, the way you feel about it, and the way you feel, you know, to tie it in with your relationship with God. I can't wait for next week.
But I had this crazy thing stirring in me all day that, you know, what would it be like, and that's Zyler's phone.
That was a first. That was a first, people.
First.
That was a first. Now, okay, check this out. Zyler This is his first time being on the podcast. Okay? So he didn't know the rules that you have to put your phone on silent. Now, his phone just went off, and that was awesome, dude. But you got to put it on silent, though.
That's first.
That's a first. That was cool.
You had the first.
You had the first, dude. There you go.
So, you know, I just had this crazy notion, this crazy stirring in me all day long, and really for the past week, and I think it's just stirring back up in me from many years ago that we left something undone. And, you know, I don't know how you feel about that. That, you know, I just feel there we didn't go all out. We didn't finish what we started, you know, 6 years ago.
Well, I mean, it was like what you said, that, you know, we only got to experience a little bit. You know, it's like when you make a great dessert and, you know, you bring it out and you only just, you know, get your finger and you just run across the top of it,
right,
and you just taste it, but you never really get to, you know, just taste, you know, get yourself a piece of it and just experience what, you know, what
it's what that scripture is all about. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so many people live this nominal Christian life, this routine, you know, and there's really, God wants to do more. He really wants to do more in our schools, in our cities, in our careers, in our homes, in this world. I mean, the reality is there is a lost and dying world out there. And I sat down and I thought about this the other day because I was talking with this guy who's in this small county, and their high school and junior high all together, he's in the town he's in, there's 685 students in this high school and junior high. And their youth ministry is running 185 kids. And I thought, man, you know, the numbers of that. I mean, that's almost, you know, 30% penetration. And here's what he said to me, and we were emailing over this. He said, I still don't think we've done enough. There's 400 kids out there that don't know God. We have got to do more. And I thought, what a passion. And that started stirring me because, you know, we're nowhere close to that. You know, there's 32,000 students within 30 minutes of our church. And there has got to become a stirring in our ministry here and in the ministries of everywhere, that there are students, there are people that are out there that need God, need to experience change in their life, and that we've got to have this passion and we've got to go for it. And so this message tonight was about just let's go after God and let's experience what those disciples experienced when they walked with him. Let's see what God has for us. Let's see what God can do in our lives. Let's just go for it and let's don't look back and let's have no regrets that we went out, we lived the life for God, and we just went all the way to the limits, you know?
That's true, man. Zyler, how old are you, man?
16.
16 years old. And that puts you in what grade? What grade are you in?
10th grade.
10th grade. That's sophomore.
Sophomore.
Sophomore in high school. As a 16-year-old sophomore in high school, what do you think you could be doing that would excite, intrigue your fellow classmates, man?
I think I could just go out, meet new people, greet them, tell them, hey, come out to Elevate, praise God, and stuff like that, and just, like, make it happen. Just get out, and people I don't talk to, and say, hey, you need to get over here and do this and that. Just praise them a whole lot more than I do, and just get a bunch of people, try it out.
Yeah, and I mean, it's cool that you say that, man, and it's easy to, you know, talk to people. You know, people don't understand how easy it is to talk. And it could start by just talking to your friends at first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to that core group that you hang out with and say, hey, guys, you know, I'm experiencing something great here at my youth group. It's something a little different, you know. We have some live music. We have a great, you know, message. It's not so much church as a lot of people think, you know. And all it takes is just inviting someone. All it takes is just saying, hey, come check it out, you know? And you can tell that with your core friends, and as they start coming out, because they're friends of yours, and seeing what's going on, that starts a chain reaction. Because then they have other friends that will invite people, and continue. And it's like a domino effect, man. And it all starts from you just opening your mouth and saying, hey, come check it out. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Yeah.
Pastor Jay, what else you got, man?
It's so neat because afterwards I was talking with a gentleman, dad of one of the young women in our youth ministry, and I was talking with him. He was talking about how he went out on this mobile canteen for the Salvation Army last month, which we're going to be doing it this month, you know, as a youth ministry. We're going to go out to there. And he was talking about how, you know, when he went down there and you know, he was experiencing these people that are homeless and they don't have nothing and how. And I said, let's do it, you know. I mean, I could hear the passion in his heart. And I said, then why don't we do something? And so we're talking about even now we're going to meet together for lunch and we're going to talk about some of the dreams he has of missions and mission trips and even how we can do some local missions. Because sometimes we, you know, we go out, we go to Mexico, and we go all over the world, and we forget that in our own backyards.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, man.
You know, there are hurting and lost people. So what we want to try to do is facilitate that here with our teenagers, because not all of them are going to have the chance to go, you know, all over the world. But they can go here, and they can make a difference.
True that.
And so I'm excited. I challenge everybody, and if you're listening to this podcast, you know, I want to leave a challenge to you, no matter where you're at, as you listen to this message, you know, take this message to heart, you know, and at the end, you won't hear it at the end of this podcast, but I challenge every one of the teenagers that step forward at the end, and I said, do this. If you're serious about this message, and you're serious about this stirring in your heart, then I want you to pray for the next week. I want you to just pray and say, God, what is it, what is the dream that you have in me? You know, what is it? And I told them to write it down. I told them to email it to me. I just told them, find a way, get it to me. And I want to leave that challenge out there to people who are listening to this. If you're listening to this by podcast, then I want you to take that challenge as you listen to the message. Take it to heart. I want you to email me. And you can email me at jason.curley. That's C-U-R-L-E-E, jason.curley. At churchofhope.org, and you can go there. You can go to my MySpace, which you can find. If you know, all my links are up wherever you're getting this podcast at.
I'm on your MySpace too.
Yep. Am I my number one guy?
I'm number one. That's what I'm saying. That's how I do things.
And you know, it was pretty interesting because I saw I'm still number one on your.
Hey, dude, you're still number one, dude. I mean, because like we've been through a lot, and you know, I'm afraid to take you off my number one because you might fire me. So
well,
that's why
I figure if you take so, the day you take me off your number one, I'm taking you off my number one.
Dude, so. You can't do that, dude. That's not fair. All right, guys, we're wrapping this up, man. We're taking you out into our great message that we had. I encourage you, if you're listening to this in your other ministries, you know, feel free to take any ideas that you can get. If you got any questions, you know, hit up Pastor Jay on, you know, his address that he said. Zyler, I want to thank you for being a part of our podcast.
Hey, no problem.
And that's it, guys. Here we go. Take it in, baby. Here we go. Here we go.
Well, you know, when you go from, we were talking about this a little while ago, when you go from playing high school football to playing college football, it's a whole nother level of playing. But I remember when I went from high school to college to play football, you know, it was a whole other world. You know, in high school, I was pretty much the biggest guy on the team. You know, it was, there may have been a guy that was heavier than me, or there may have been a guy that was taller than me, but in high school, I was pretty much the biggest guy. But when I went to A&I to play college football, I kind of stepped into a whole new arena, a whole new level of playing, and I went to a place where instead of me being the best player on the team, I went to a place where every single person out there was the best player from their team, and now here we all were playing. And I remember when it came time to play, and you know, the first day, the first 3 days you're there, it's like just intense running and just all this. But I remember when we actually kind of put on the full pads, and I remember meeting our first string lineman, and it was kind of like David and the Giants. I mean, this, you know, I'm 6'2", and at that time I weighed about 205, And here I was, you know, playing linebacker in 2-a-days, and one of our linemen is 6'10", 315 pounds. Another lineman was 6'6", 305 pounds. Another lineman was 6'5", 295 pounds. And the other guy was like 6'5", and he was like 285. I mean, I'm standing there, and I'm like, dude, these guys are huge. And I remember the first day of practice when we suited up in full pads, we had to do these blocking drills with the linemen where they blocked us and we had to try to tackle the running backs as they were coming forward. And, you know, at first, you know, when you hit somebody that's 305 pounds, you know, there's kind of only two ways to hit them. You can either kind of hesitate and take the hit, you know, and get squashed, or you can just go in full steam hard, as bold as can be, and you can hit them as hard as you can. And I'm telling you, the only way that I could have survived is to just go in there with boldness. And you know, tonight, what we're talking about here at Elevate, and our message title is this, it's called The Bold Pursuit. And all this month, you know, we've been having this series called Chase, the greatest chase of all, Pursuit. And this series is a great series, and what it really is all about, it's living this life full out with God. Just going all out with God and going after Him and chasing after Him and getting up each day to discover what God is going to do and seeing Him move in life and, you know, getting up and speaking with the Creator of the universe and having Him move on your behalf. It's about running after God. It's about chasing Him with all you got. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago when we started it, we started with a message called Catching an Awesome God. And our big idea for that was you need to catch God. Does anybody remember? By capturing His heart. You got it. You catch God by capturing His heart. Because God's just this big, awesome God. And reality is there's no way we can catch Him. You know? There's no way to physically catch Him. And the only way to catch God is you catch God by capturing His heart. You capture His heart. It's like He comes and He lets you capture Him. And then last week, we had another message called Running the Amazing Race. And our big idea last week was that you run life's race with God as your prize. And it was a great message about putting God as your prize and running through life, this amazing race of life, this adventure that we live, and running full out, knowing that God is going to be your prize at the end. So we've had two great messages so far. And so once again tonight, if you're here and you're listening, or maybe if you're listening by podcast, what we're talking about is the bold pursuit. Now in your notes there, I have some definitions of bold. So read them there with me. The first one is not hesitating or fearful in the face of danger. That's kind of like when I was there with those football players. You know, and I'm lined up here and I'm 205 pounds and I'm 6'2", and across the line is a 6'10", 315 pound giant. It's being bold in the face of danger. Second one is not hesitating to break the rules of propriety or being forward. It's like that person that just kind of says the first thing off the top of their head. And not just bad things, but, you know, some people will hesitate and they won't say what they really are feeling. And these people will just go ahead and get it out with no fear. The third one is necessitating courage and daring. And then the fourth one is beyond the usual limits of conventional thought or action. Imaginative. And I like that definition the best. You know, it's beyond the usual limits of conventional thought. You know, the thinking is, you know, God's in heaven and I'm here and you know, I have my life and you know, there's God and then there's me, and you know. But it's taken this thinking to a whole nother level and saying, you know what? If God is really real, what would it be like to live all out for Him? You know, it's taking that thinking and you know, going beyond you know, what you ever thought. I like this quote by Jonathan Swift, and I think it kind of sums up boldness. I don't know if I put it in your notes. I think I did. He was a bold man that first ate an oyster. You ever thought about that? I mean, who is the knucklehead that ate an oyster? I mean, think about it. You know, he found this like thing on the bottom of the ocean, and then he brought it up and he looked at it and said, let's see what's in it. And then he opened it up and it's like this big nasty booger, you know? I mean, who in the world is going to put a slimy big snot ball in their mouth and eat it? Who thought of that? I mean, you had to have been bold to be the first person to do that. Have you ever thought, maybe some of you, as we're talking about, you know, this bold pursuit, how many of y'all have ever maybe had the thought that, and maybe not all the time, but maybe sometimes you've thought, I'm just not good enough for God. You know, maybe you've kind of walked through the Christian walk that you live in, and you come to a place where you feel like you've messed up, and you just kind of think to yourself, you know, I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough for God. Maybe you've done a few things and you messed up, and you know, how can I go to God? I've messed up. I've kind of blown it. How can I come back to God? Maybe you've had those thoughts before. Maybe you've thought, or maybe you kind of hear these voices in your head, you know, and by that I don't mean you're crazy. But, you know, you have these thoughts, these voices that maybe tell you, you know, that you're never going to be good enough. You're never good enough. You know, you mess up too much. You're not good enough for God. Maybe you hear that. Some people go through life, even sitting in church, bound up because they feel they're not good enough. I don't know if you know who Martin Luther is, and I'm not talking about Martin Luther King. I'm talking about Martin Luther in the 16th century. And Martin Luther, whose break from the Catholic Church started the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, through the medieval Catholic system of confession and penance. You know, that's where if you mess up, you got to make penance. You got to do something. So you got to confess and you got to do penance. So he had been trying with everything in him. He was trying to do what was right. And he was a Catholic priest. He believed in Jesus with all his heart and soul. And he also believed the teaching of the church that you had to atone for all your sins or face the fires of hell. And so he tried. He tried confession. And he tried penance. But he worried that he might have committed a sin unknowingly, and therefore he would fail to confess it, leaving it unforgiven. He was in a confessional booth so often with mundane matters. I mean, just kind of silly matters, that his confessor told him to go out and do something worth confessing. It's like, dude, if you're going to come in here, at least do something and come in here. He even tried the mortification of his flesh, literally beating himself senseless, in the hopes of pleasing a God who would otherwise judge him unworthy of heaven. So tonight, maybe you felt like that. Maybe you don't go out and beat yourself. But sometimes we beat ourselves up mentally. Sometimes we just beat ourselves up because we mess up. And you tell yourself, man, you're so stupid. Why would you do that? You're never going to amount up to anything. Maybe you felt like that before. Well, tonight, this message is about freeing you up from that. This message is about the bold pursuit. Maybe some of you have thought or wondered if there's even more to this Christian life. More, there's got to be more. Is there more to being a Christian than just coming to church? Is there more to coming than just reading my Bible and praying? Is there more? You know what? I'm going to tell you this. I'll say it, and I know I'm getting this recorded. If the Christian life is just about coming to church, reading, and praying, that's a boring life. I'd be bored with it. And you know what? I wouldn't blame you if you're bored with it. I would be bored. If that's all there is, I'd be bored too. But you know what? There's more to the Christian life than that. There's more than just praying, and there's more than just coming to church, and there's more. There's more out there There's an awesome God who is omniscient, who's omnipotent, and who does some radical and crazy things. Man, read your Bible. I've been in meetings. I've literally seen people's legs grow out. Not just a little bit. I'm talking about 2 inches. I've seen it. Man, there's more to the life of a Christian. There's some radical, crazy things. Man, there is more to life. And I'm telling you, if all you're doing is just, you know, coming to church, it's no wonder you're going to get bored and quit. There's more to this Christian life. There's so much more. And, you know, God's just waiting for us to just grab hold of it. God's just waiting for some people to just say, you know what? If there is more, I'm going to go after it, God. Maybe you thought about all that stuff. Think about Jesus' disciples, what they got to do by pursuing God. Think about this guy, Peter. And think about, you know, when Jesus came to him and Jesus said, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And Peter's like standing there and he's got his net and you know, and this guy, Jesus, comes along and says, come, follow me. He said, come, follow me, and I'm going to give you a purpose that's greater than what you're doing. I mean, Peter probably had to think real hard. Do you know what I mean? Peter probably had to go, let's see. Live the rest of my life smelling like a fish, looking like dirty, and having this stink on me every day. You know, because they didn't have like these baths, you know, like we got. So he couldn't come home and, you know, get the cow gone and wash it all away. Couldn't do that. He's probably smelled like a fish everywhere. You know, fish stink. You know, and then he guts them and all that. And he probably stunk all the time. And so he's probably thinking, Jesus said, come follow me. Let me think real hard about this. Hold on, Jesus. Do I want to smell like a fish or do I want to hit the road and have some fun? Let me think about this. You know, he probably went home and really thought hard. Do you think? I don't think he had to think very hard at all, because I think he already knew a little bit about Jesus, and he knew maybe a little bit of story that was going around about him, and he said, you know what? I think I'm going to follow this dude, because when he's around, some crazy things happen. I think I was telling our young adults this Sunday morning in Compass class, I think I said this. I said, just imagine being with Jesus when he called Lazarus out. You ever thought about that? When he said, Lazarus, come forth. You want to talk about freak out? This would freak all of you guys out. Because the Bible says that Lazarus was bound up. And you know, back then, what they did is they put all those, you know, claws all the way around him. All over him. So when Jesus called Lazarus was kind of like mummified almost. He didn't come out walking. When it says, Lazarus, come forth, he was still bound up. Because when he got to Jesus, how do you think he got to Jesus? He didn't walk. He couldn't walk. Jesus was so radical, so powerful, that when he said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus' body just came out. That's radical, man. That's some radical stuff. Could you imagine? I would follow that dude everywhere. Why? Because crazy things. It was a life of adventure. God still does some radical, crazy things. Because I've seen it. I've seen it. I knew a person, literally knew them. It wasn't set up. It wasn't faked. She was born with her leg 2 inches shorter than the other one. And she walked, you know, with a limp all her life. And we knew her for 5 years. And I literally watched her leg grow out. I was standing this far from it. Man, there is some crazy stuff God wants to do in and through our lives. And he's just waiting on somebody to jump on board and go for it. That's why we're talking tonight about the bold pursuit. This bold pursuit. Man, listen to this big idea that we got. This is our big idea tonight. You can fill in the blanks. Go boldly to God through Jesus. And that's it. You need to go boldly to God through Jesus. If you felt kind of bound up and you felt like you're not worthy enough and you're kind of hesitating in your life, then you need to go boldly to God through Jesus. Man, you need to go after God with some boldness through Jesus. I want to give you a couple of scriptures, man, tonight. I want to talk with you through the Bible and let you see this yourself. So the scripture we're going to read tonight is Hebrews 10:19. I'm going to read it to you out of the New Living Translation, and I probably figured nobody brought the New Living Bible with them. If you're there, it's in your notes, and it's on the screen. Hebrews 10:19 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus." Now, let me give you a picture to show you where they're coming from here. Let me give you a picture through the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, back before Jesus, what they had is they had this temple. And this temple was set up. There was this courtyard, and then there was the inner courts. And then inside the inner courts, way in there, was the most holy place. And the most holy place had this almost like 1 foot curtain thick. I mean, it was like a curtain this thick, because that's where God showed up. God showed up in this most holy place. And so when somebody had to get their sins forgiven, they couldn't just go to God. What they had to do is they had to bring an animal, a certain animal, a goat or a lamb or a pigeon or just all these different kinds of animals that were clean. And they would bring them up there and they'd give them to the priest, and the priest would take them and they'd kill them and they'd burn them and offer a sacrifice to God. They couldn't stop doing it. They couldn't stop this sacrifices because they had to get their sins forgiven every year. So every year, all your life, to get forgiven, you had to come and you had to bring a sacrifice and you had to get killed because that blood kind of covered your sins for the time. And then see, every year, God would show up in that most holy place. And there was only one person that could go in. And he was the most high priest. He was the high priest of the time. And only he could go in. And what they had to do is they had to tie a rope on one of his legs. And they had to tie a bell on him. Because if they heard the bell, it meant that he died. He had a sin, because he had to go in there pure. Because if he had one sin, it wasn't atoned for, it was like, he's dead. But that couldn't happen to everybody. Everybody couldn't do that. And that was the Old Testament. I want to read some of the scriptures, and I'll put them all in your notes for you. Let's read with me here. It says, under the Old Covenant, in Hebrews 10, verse 11, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. You see, Jesus did away with all that. Verse 12, read with me here. It says, "But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time." He was one sacrifice for our sins. And it said, for how long? For all time. Man, it was good for all time. It said, "Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. And the Holy Spirit also testifies that this is so. For he says, 'This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds.' Then he says, 'I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds.'" Verse 18. "And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices." I'm going to stop right there. Pause for a second. Remember Martin Luther? This is what his problem was. Is he was loved God, but he felt he had to make atonement. And here's what Hebrews is saying is, "And when sins have been forgiven, there's no more need to make any more sacrifices." See, here's the thing, guys. You're good enough. If you've stepped up here and you've asked God to rescue you from this ordinary life, you're good enough. God's rescued you. You don't have to go through the rest of your life when you mess up and say, man, I messed up, and beat yourself up over your head. You don't have to do that. Now, I'll preface that by saying that if you do mess up, you should go to God and say, God, man, I messed up. Help me to not do it anymore. But you don't have to sit here and go, you know what? I'm not good enough to come to God. You don't have to do that. Why? Because Jesus sacrificed himself for you. So we said all that, and then here goes that scripture again. And so, verse 19, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God. I underline those for a reason. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. We're talking about the bold pursuit. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. God has done it. And now you can go after God. In fact, he encouraged you there. He says what? Let us go right into the presence of God. Boldly enter heaven's most holy place. We can do that now. We don't have to wait. So how do you apply this to your life? How do you do it? Can I tell you this? There's not any magic formula. You know, if you pray 1 hour a day and you come to Elevate the rest of your life and you get involved, I could probably say all that, but that's not how it works. It's part of it. You know, read through the whole Bible in a year, pray every day, go to church, give your tithe, 10%. Then you're going to be able to do it. No, uh-uh. I just think it's just kind of like how Nike probably said it the best. You remember Nike's little thing? What did they say? Just do it. You just got to jump in. There's no other way. I remember when I first learned how to swim, I had taken some swimming lessons. And when I was first, you know, a little guy and I'm trying to learn how to swim, we went to my grandparents' lake house, and my grandpa decides he's going to find out if I can swim or not. And he says, son, swim over to that pier. And I'm a little guy, you know, and I'm thinking, you crazy? That's like a mile. You know, it's like 20 feet. But, you know, 20 feet when you're a little guy, that's like a mile. And he said, no, if you're ever going to swim, you're just going to have to jump in and you're going to have to go. And man, I remember jumping in and you're like, you know, and I made it there. But you know, if I wouldn't have just jumped in and did it, I would have never known. And you know, the reality is this life with God, there is no magic formula. You just got to jump in. You just got to do it. You just got to go for it. Swim with all you got. There's no other way to apply it. But see, the problem is some of us are hesitating. We're hesitating. We're thinking too much about it. We're thinking about whether we're good enough. I don't know if I'm good enough to go all out with God. I just don't know if I'm good enough. Or you're thinking about what are my friends going to say? You know, if I go to school tomorrow, what are they going to say if they find out I'm living all out for God? And you're hesitating. And it's no wonder God doesn't move, because that's fear. And God doesn't move through fear. He moves through what? Faith. He moves through boldness. You're hesitating. You're thinking, okay, if I go all out for God, I'm going to miss out on something. I'm going to miss a party, or I'm just going to wait till, you know, I graduate and I turn 21 and then I'll go all out for God. It doesn't work that way. Because then you're 21 and then pretty soon you're married and pretty soon you got 2 or 3 children. You have a career and you don't have time to go all out for God. Then you start looking back and you start saying, maybe I missed something with God. Maybe I missed a chance or two. And then you just kind of live a nominal, kind of boring, kind of Christian life.
which kind of sounds like this. You get up, you go to work, and you come home, you spend time with your family, and you get up the next day, and you go to work, and you come home, and, you know, spend time with your family, watch some TV, and go to Wednesday night church every now and then, and you get this pattern. And then Sunday morning comes around, and of course, because you're kind of tired, you know, and you worked all week, you know, you kind of lay there and decide, man, do I really want to go to church? And you kind of drag yourself out, and you go to church, and that's how the next 40, 50 years of your life are going to be. Sounds like an exciting Christian life to look forward to, doesn't it? I don't blame kids that when they grow up, they say, you know what, I don't want to go back to church. But I'll tell you this, it's because you didn't jump all in. Don't come back and say, well, you know, Pastor Jay, you just didn't make it exciting enough. You know what, you don't need me to make it exciting. You can get up every day and live this adventure without me. You don't need me to walk you through and hold your hand. Because, you know, I'm not going to be there the rest of your life. But you know what? You can live this life to it. You can do something that nobody else has done. Man, you could start something. I loved it. I was at Courtney's school today, her and Bethany. And they started a Bible club with some kids this year. You know, there was nothing at Tolosa Midway Junior High. Nothing. And they were talking about how they were at See You at the Pole. And they all kind of got together and thought, why don't we keep this going? Why don't we do something? And so they started a Bible club. And every Friday they have about 30, sometimes more, that come in there in this Bible club. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. They're going for it. You know what? You can do that in your school. There's, you know, all I'm waiting for you is to say, Pastor Jay, I want to do it. Can you help me? I'm going to be all over it like white on rice. I'm just waiting for somebody to say, I'm ready to do this. Because when you guys are ready, that's when this place is going to fill up. That's when there's going to be, you know, we can fit 200 people in here. And when you're ready, I'll pull out the chairs. I promise you. But it's going to happen when you're ready. I really don't believe in the Pastor Jay has got to call the roll every week because some kids aren't coming. When you guys are ready, this thing's going to blow up. It's going to blow up when you're ready. And you know what? When you guys are ready to pray and seek God with me, it's going to explode. When you're ready to go and chase God and say, what could happen? It's going to go. How different would your life look like if you went after God? How different would your school be if you went after God? How different would it be if like these junior hires, man, if you get a few of you and you just say, you know what, we're going to do it. Man, a few, you know what a few turns into? A few turns into a little bit more. And a few turns into a little bit more. And you know what happens when you get some logs together? Have you ever seen that? And it's like the fire kind of dies down, you know, and the logs get a little away from each other. And then I'll push them all together. And that heat just like gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And soon I have another fire going. And that's what it's like, man. If you'll just get a few together and you get a few more and you guys working together, get one in and get another in and get another in and get some more in. You know, Courtney, by the time you guys graduate from high school, I'm telling you, if you guys will stay on track, I'm going to tell you right now, and I know God's speaking this. If you will stay right on track, you will see that thing triple, quadruple. I mean, you're going to blow Tolosa Midway High School out of the water. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, God's saying this right now. This is not coming just for me. I can see you guys can do it if you'll just stay on with it and run with it. I'm telling you, you will make a difference over there. I know it. I feel it right here. What would it look like if someone just went right after God? Maybe someone got bold enough, walked right into a hospital, got down on their knees and said, God, let them all be healed. Man, and the whole hospital just walked out. Well, you don't think it could happen? You don't think it can happen? You're right. If you don't think it can happen, it ain't going to happen. Because what? That's not being bold. Oh, but I'll look silly if I do something like that. I know you will look silly. I would look silly. But you know what? God likes silly things. He uses silly, bold things. Man, if you'll just get bold. God's looking for someone to be bold. You need to be bold. Imagine a youth ministry getting so on fire for God and chasing after them. Their entire school got changed, man. You got to be bold. Look at Mary. Y'all know Mary, mother of Jesus? I mean, angel comes to her and says, you're going to have the Son of God. Hold on for a second. If she would have thought about that, let's see. I've got to be holding Jesus. I ain't chancing nothing happened to him. You know what I mean? If she would have thought about it, God would have used somebody else. But God used her because she said, you know what? Yes. She was bold. And that's what you're going to have to be. You're just going to have to do it. I'm going to leave you with this last quote, and we're done. I put this in your notes. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said this. He said, plunge boldly into the thick of life and seize it where you will. It is always interesting. And folks, if you will just jump in and grab hold of this Christian life and grab hold of God and not let go and say, God, just show me what you can do if I chase after you. Man, I promise you, it will be the most interesting, wildest ride you will have through high school. I guarantee you, there won't be a party that compares to it. I'm telling you. There isn't anything wilder than that. Go boldly to God through Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Elevate Podcast. For more information on Elevate, log on to www.myspace.com/ElevateUCC.